Thank you for listening. Love Worth Finding is solely a listener and viewer-supported ministry, and this message is available because of the prayers and donations of people just like you. To make a donation, go to lwf.org or call 1-800-274-5683. And thank you for joining us in making an eternal difference.
A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. I spent late last night going through a very thick spine volume in my library written by Dr. Schindler. Dr. Schindler is a medical doctor, and he talked about a sickness that many people have, and he calls the sickness by these initials, E-I-I. And I wonder if you have it today. E-I-I. And what E-I-I is emotionally induced illness. That is, people are sick physically, but their emotions have made them ill. And Dr. Schindler went on to say, and he's a very renowned doctor, head of his department in a medical department, said that 50% of the people who are treated by physicians are there because of E-I-I. 50%. That is, you could go down to the hospital and say every other bed is there because of E-I-I. And Dr. Schindler, in order to back up what he said, did some investigation with some very well-known and renowned clinics. And I remember reading last night in that book where he quoted what happened in Ochsner Clinic. Down in Ochsner Clinic in New Orleans, many of you have heard of the famous Ochsner Clinic. They tested 500 consecutive patients who had come in there with gastrointestinal problems. 500 in a row. And after they examined them, they concluded in the famous Ochsner Clinic, 74% of those patients had E-I-I, emotionally induced illness. And this renowned doctor said that one of the problems is when a person comes to the doctor and he has E-I-I and the doctor knows it, many times he's afraid to tell the patient because the patient will get angry when you say that he has an emotionally induced illness. And he'll want another doctor. Hard for him to admit that he has E-I-I. And then he went on to estimate, for example, if you have a pain, a stiffness in the back of the neck, he suggested and estimated that 75% of that is E-I-I. If you have a lump in the throat and difficulty swallowing, he estimates that 90% of that is E-I-I. And also like pain in the stomach, 50% of that at least is E-I-I. Gas and bloating, he said 99.44% of that is E-I-I. Dizziness, 80%. Headaches, 80%. Now here's one, tiredness, 90% E-I-I. Well, I want to give you a little GMM, God's miracle medicine. Find out what God has to say about this, that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Old Ponce de Leon, the Spaniard, came to Florida many years ago seeking the fountain of youth. He should have looked in the book of Proverbs. He should have found what God had to say right there in Proverbs 17, verse 22, that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A Christian without joy, a joyless Christian, is a contradiction in terms. Someone has well said that a religion that wears grave clothes ought to be buried. I say amen to that. Now, let's talk a little bit about God's miracle medicine. A merry heart that doeth good like a medicine. First of all, I want you to think with me about the misery of a heavy heart. The misery of a heavy heart. Did you know that the Bible speaks of what we call a heavy heart? Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. That means that misery burdens the soul. It bows down the heart. It makes it to stoop. We go around bent over emotionally. Heaviness in the heart of a man makes the heart to stoop, not just the body, but the heart is bowed down with a load of care. And many of you today have a heart that is bowed down, a heart that is stooping because you're carrying a load of misery and heartache and grief, and it's bowing you down, and you were never meant to carry that load. Many of you remember the old story that has frequently been told about the man who had a heavy sack of grain on his shoulder, walking down the road on a hot day, and a man came along in a wagon, an old buckboard pulled by a horse, and pulled over and said, "Hey, it's too hot for you to be walking like that. Climb on up here in the wagon, I'll give you a lift." And the man with the load of grain on his shoulder climbed up in the wagon and sat down. And after a while, the fellow who had the reins in his hands looked over and said, "My goodness, sir, set that load down. Put that grain down and relax." "Oh, no," he said. "It's enough to ask you to give me a ride without you carrying this, too." Well, we say that's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? Well, of course it is. But my friend, listen, some of you have gotten in the wagon with Jesus for salvation, but you've never set the load down, have you? You say, "Lord, I can trust you to save me, but I just can't trust you to carry this load." But the Bible says, "Cast your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain thee. Take your burdens to the Lord," the old song says, "and leave them there." What is the misery of a heavy heart? Well, number one, it burdens the soul. Number two, it breaks the spirit. Look in Proverbs chapter 15 and look in verse 13. "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." Have you ever seen a person with a broken spirit? Do you know what the spirit is? The spirit is that innermost part of a person. The spirit is the wellsprings of life. That is the deepest part. Now, it's one thing to burden the soul. It's yet another thing to break the spirit. You can have a burdened soul and get over it. But oh, when it breaks your spirit, you're in trouble. Have you ever seen a person with a broken spirit? When the light goes out of the eyes, when the spark dies, when the enthusiasm and the zest and the fight, it goes, and there's nothing left but the shell of a person, the spirit is broken. I've seen them that way. General Douglas MacArthur is one of my heroes. Let me talk to you about what MacArthur had to say. He kept these words on his wall in his office. Listen. He said, "Youth is not a time of life. It is a state of mind. It is not a matter of red cheeks, red lips, and supple knees. It is a temper of the will, a quality of the imagination, a vigor of the emotions. It is a freshness of the deep springs of life." And then he went on to say, "Youth means a temperamental predominance of courage over timidity, of the appetite for adventure over a life of ease." Then he said, "This often exists in a man of 50 more than in a boy of 20. Nobody grows old by merely living a number of years. People grow old by deserting their ideals. Years may wrinkle the skin, but to give up enthusiasm wrinkles the soul. Worry, doubt, self-distrust, fear, and despair, these are the long, long, long years that bow the head and turn the growing spirit back to dust." And then the great general said, "You are as young as your faith, as old as your doubt, as young as your self-confidence, as old as your fears, as young as your hope, as old as your despair." What is the misery of a heavy heart? It burdens the soul. It breaks the spirit. It buries the body eventually. Look, if you will, in chapter 17 and look again in verse 22. "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." Now, have you seen it? A heavy heart breaks the spirit, and a broken spirit dries the bones. Do you see it? The soul affects the spirit, and the spirit affects the body. And the body now begins to wither, and the body begins to decay, and we get ill because of what happens. And eventually, this body will die, not because of the hardening of the arteries, but because of the hardening of the attitude. And it dries the bones. The entire body is affected. People have E-I-I. Emotionally induced illness. Psychosomatic sickness. Frederick II ruled over Sicily in the 13th century. It's back before the days of modern psychology, and he wondered what kind of language children would speak if those children were just left to themselves and nobody taught them to speak any language. Being a despot, he decided he'd perform an experiment. So he took certain newborn babies, took them from their original parents, and put them in foster homes with this instruction: nobody was to speak one word to those babies. They were not to hear one sound. He wanted to see what kind of language they would speak if nobody spoke to them. He never found out, because within a year, every one of those babies died. Every one. E-I-I. After World War II in Germany, another experiment, not quite as harsh, but harsh indeed, and I don't recommend it at all. But they took 100 children who were orphans. They put 50 of those children in one orphanage, 50 in another. In the one orphanage, they gave those children love and happiness and conviviality and joy and games. And in the other orphanage, nothing but sternness and discipline. No happiness, no laughter, no fun, no games, no joy. They all had the same heat. They all had the same cooling. They all had the same housing. They all had the same clothes. They all had the same exercise. They all had the same food. But after a year, the children where the joy and the happiness were 2 inches on an average taller than the other children. And several pounds heavier. And the other group had far more disease and sickness. E-I-I. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But what is the misery? What is the misery of a heavy heart? I want to tell you, dear friend, it burdens the soul. It breaks the spirit. It buries the body. Many people are going to die prematurely because they do not understand God's miracle medicine. Now, secondly, I want you to notice not only what I call the misery of a heavy heart, but the mastery of a happy heart. Now, God has given us something to master that misery. God has given us something as medicine for the soul, the spirit, and the body. And it is good medicine. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Now, when the Bible speaks here in Psalm 17 and verse 22 about a merry heart, he's not just talking about fun and games. Although there's nothing wrong with fun and games. That's a part of the spinoff. That's one of the byproducts of a merry heart. And that's a very wonderful thing. He's not talking against humor or laughter, although he's talking about far more than humor and laughter. And I think that humor and laughter is one of the spinoffs of having a merry heart. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was a great preacher. People say he was the greatest preacher who ever lived. But a lady criticized Spurgeon for bringing humor into some of his messages. She said, "You ought not to do that." You know, there's some people think that if we preach, we ought to be somber all the time. Spurgeon said, "Oh, don't criticize me." He said, "If you knew how much I held back, you would praise me." Oh, because Spurgeon had that bubbling, effervescent joy that sometimes showed itself in humor and sometimes showed itself in laughter. But when we're talking about a merry heart, what we're really talking about and what the language actually means is joy. Joy, not mere laughter, not mere joking, not mere fun and games, but deep, abiding joy. This is the mastery of a happy heart when that joy is there. Now, notice certain things about that joy. Very first thing I want you to notice is the seat of that joy. Where is that joy found? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That is, it comes out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaketh. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In Hebrew psychology, the heart is the core, the center of the individual. And that is the source of that joy, and the seat of that joy is in the heart. It doesn't depend upon things. It doesn't depend upon thrills. It comes from the heart. The devil generally starts from the outside and works in, but God starts from the inside and he works out. Now I want you to notice not only the seat of that joy, but I want you to notice the source of that joy. Where do we get that joy? Well, in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 20, the last part of that verse, "And whoso trusteth the Lord, happy is he." Amen? Whoso trusteth the Lord, happy is he. You see, the source of that joy is the Lord himself. Jesus Christ in John 15 verse 11 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be in you, and that your joy might be full. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Now, Jesus spoke of his joy. His joy. Did you ever think of Jesus as being a joyful person? You know, we sing about Jesus as being a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But don't ever paint a picture of Jesus as being a sanctimonious, pale, religious recluse. As a matter of fact, the Bible describing the Lord Jesus says, "Thou hast anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellows." That means nobody had joy like the Lord Jesus. He had the oil of gladness more than any other person who ever lived. There is a joy, a full joy that was in the Lord Jesus, and that joy the Lord Jesus said, "I'm going to give to you." You see, the joy that I have today and the joy that you have is not some cheap imitation of his joy. It's the real thing, friend. It is his joy. The joy, my joy, have I given unto you. Jesus said, "I want that joy to remain in you." The Reader's Digest, in an article some time back, said that man needs three things in order to make him happy, in order to make him fulfilled. First of all, someone to love. Number two, something meaningful to do. Number three, something to hope for. That's pretty good. Jesus is all three. Someone to love? We love him because he first loved us. Something to do? Serve the Lord with gladness. Something to hope for, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He, ladies and gentlemen, is the source of that joy. To have Christ in your heart is to have that joy. Now, I want you to notice the strength of that joy, because what does our text say? Proverbs 17 verse 22, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." Friend, it is strong medicine. Now, you used to talk about Hattacol. You remember Hattacol? That medicine supposed to be so strong, supposed to give you strength. Man said, "Before I took Hattacol, I couldn't even spit over my chin." Said, "Now after five bottles, I can spit all over my chin." That's Hattacol. Gave you strength. That's strong medicine. Now, I want to tell you something, friend. There's the strength of the joy of the Lord. Do you remember what Nehemiah told those people in his day? Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." It is your strength. I tell you, it is strong medicine. The Executive Digest said of laughter, even induced laughter, that it gives you strength. It says that it affects every organ of the body. It releases tensions. It exercises the viscera, even when it is forced. But I'm not talking to you about forced laughter. I'm talking to you about the real thing, the joy of the Lord. That is strong medicine. You've read the poetry of Elizabeth Barrett Browning. She was an invalid for many years. She could not even lift her head from her pillow until one day a man named Robert Browning came to see her. And in just one visit, he gave her so much joy and so much happiness that she lifted her head from the pillow in just one visit. On the second visit, when Robert Browning came to see her, she sat up in bed. On the third visit, they eloped. Oh, my friend, I'm talking to you about strong medicine. The joy of the Lord is your strength. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Thank God for the strength of that joy. And then the stability of that joy. Listen, look if you will in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 15. Look at it. "That all the days of the afflicted are evil." Talking about these people who are going around with a load of care. "All the days of the afflicted are evil." That means if you have a heavy heart, doesn't matter, nothing good can happen to you. You just can't see anything that looks good. But then listen, "But he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast." A continual feast. That's the stability of that joy. Remember what Jesus said in John 15, verse 11? These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that it might be stable. You see, listen, your joy is really not much better than the source of that joy. You see, if you get your joy from things, if you get your joy from friends, if you get your joy from possessions, if you get your joy from outward experiences, and if you get your joy from your health or your business or any of these things can change on you. They can leave you stranded. But you see, Jesus, when he was facing the cross, was talking about his joy, wasn't he? I mean, that's when he was talking about it. Now, he said, I'm going to give you my joy, when he was facing the cross. You see, he had a self-contained joy. He had a stable joy. He that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. There's that joy that stays there all of the time. If you get it in outward things, and by the way, when you're young, you can find joy in things and thrills and theories. But I've told you before, every kick has a kickback. You know, the devil has no happy old people. Did you know that? Lord Byron, another poet, he lived it up as a young man, and he was witty and charming, and he loved to wine and dine. He lived high, wide, and handsome. But still, as a young man, Lord Byron wrote, my days are in the yellow leaf. The flowers and fruits of life are gone. The worm, the canker, and the grief are mine alone. He sought his joy in the wrong place. You see, there's the stability of this joy. He that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. We've talked about the misery of a heavy heart. We've talked about the mastery of a happy heart. Let's talk about the ministry of a healthy heart. Why does God make us strong? Why does God give us strength? Why does God give us his joy? So we can serve the devil? Not at all. I mean, God gives us this strength that we might minister. Now, let me tell you three things about the ministry of a healthy heart. First of all, let me remind you that this joy is to be sought. This joy is to be sought. It is not automatic. I mean, you can have medicine in the cabinet, but you must take it. And so it must be day by day. You must receive the joy of the Lord. Look again in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Now watch this. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. You're to seek the Lord. Are you seeking the Lord? I mean, this morning, did you seek him? With all of your heart and with all of your soul, did you bathe yourself in his presence? You see, listen, you're to seek that presence. Jesus said we're to abide in him and he in us. And then he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that you might have joy. What things? That we abide in the Lord Jesus. A man wrote to his congressman. He said, where is all this happiness that the Constitution of the United States guarantees us? The congressman wrote back and said, you better reread the Constitution. It doesn't guarantee you any happiness. It guarantees you the pursuit of happiness. Now, you're going to have to pursue it. And you're going to have to pursue it particularly in the spiritual realm. This joy is found in the Lord Jesus. But the Bible says a man that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. But not only is this joy to be sought, this joy, beloved, is to be seen. Look again in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Now, if you've got the joy in your heart, it ought to show in your face. You know the reason some of you are so tired all the time? It takes 72 muscles to frown and 14 to smile. And all that wasted energy. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I believe if you've got joy in your heart, it can't help but show on your face. That's what the Bible says. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. I like to read bumper stickers. You can almost tell who's who by reading bumper stickers. Most of the time, that is. I was riding down the road a while back, and I saw on a bumper sticker, it said, smile, God loves you. Boy, I said, oh, Christian, how wonderful. So I sped up and came alongside and looked in the window, and the woman driving that car looked like she's having a gallbladder attack. I have never seen such misery written on the face of a woman. Boy, I thought to myself, man, she needs to take that bumper sticker off the bumper and put it on the dashboard. Smile! God loves you. I believe it ought to show in your face. I got a letter from a lady this past week. It was a real nice letter, but she really wrote to ask me to forgive her for feelings she'd had toward me. And you know what she didn't like about me? You say, I can't imagine. She said, I thought you were a hypocrite. She said, I've been watching you for years on television, said you're always so happy. She said, I felt nobody could be that happy all the time. So I just felt that you were a hypocrite. And then she said, finally, after several years, I came to visit and saw you and visited with your people. And she said, I know it's real. I know it's real. That's the joy of the Lord. I'm not trying to say, look at me, because, friend, if there's anything good about me, I'll guarantee it's the Lord Jesus. And if there's any joy in me, it is the joy of the Lord Jesus that is there, that is real. I tell you, dear friend, not only should we seek that joy, we ought to show that joy. That joy is to be seen. By the way, this is the way to win the lost to Christ. One of the greatest testimonies we have is the joy of the Lord. A cold, dry faith, a joyless faith, has no appeal. I read some years ago about some prospectors for gold out west who found a very rich load of gold, a very rich mine, and they said, hey, boy, we've got it made, but we don't want anybody else to find out about this before we stake it out and stake our claim. But they went back into the town for provisions and for tools. They had sworn that they would not tell a soul what they'd seen and what they'd found. But when they left the town, a great number of people left after them because it was written all over their faces. They could not hide it. They had found it. I want that kind of a faith that will be written all over my face, that I have something wonderful down deep in my heart. This joy is to be sought. This joy is to be seen. And this joy is to be shared. This is miracle medicine. If you knew the cure for some disease and nobody else had the cure, wouldn't you share it? Wouldn't you tell it? We ought to share it. I believe that the joy of the Lord not only is going to strengthen us, but I believe that God can help us to transfer that to other people. I believe that people ought to be coming to us and they ought to be asking us, what's the reason of the hope that is within you? You see, listen, without joy, life is meaningless. I don't care what you have. Without joy, life is meaningless. That joy is found only in Jesus, and we ought to share the secret, the source of our joy, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Patrick Henry, that red-headed Virginian, the one who said, give me liberty or give me death, wrote these words in his will. He said to those who were receiving his inheritance, there is one thing more I wish I could give you. It is the religion of our Lord Jesus Christ. With it, if you have nothing else, you could be happy. Without it, though you have all things else, you would not be happy. And a merry heart does good like a medicine. I want to share it with you today. I want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who are Christians, have you been carrying burdens that you ought to be casting upon the Lord? Are you allowing your soul and your spirit and your body to be wasted and dissipated? Repent of that, Christian. Come to abide in the Lord Jesus. Cast your burden upon the Lord. Claim the promise of Jesus when he says that he'll give you his joy. Abide in him. Now, those of you who are not saved, those of you who are not Christians at all, you can never even begin to know the joy of the Lord until you know the Lord of that joy. Until you know him personally. Have him in your heart. I believe today there are a number of people, you may be a church member, but you're not absolutely certain that you're saved. You never have really repented of your sin and received Christ. And I'm going to ask you to do that right now, right where you are, just to say, Lord Jesus, help me today to trust in you, to confess you as my Lord and Savior. Help me, Lord Jesus, today not to be ashamed of you. Help me, Lord Jesus, in whose name I pray. Amen.
We pray that God has blessed you as you've listened to this message. If you'd like additional copies or information about other resources, write to us at Love Worth Finding, P.O. Box 38300, Memphis, Tennessee 38183. You can also visit our online bookstore at lwf.org. In the U.S., you can place Visa or MasterCard orders by calling 1-800-274-5683, Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Central Time. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.